spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Rabbi Israel Salanter, was written by the late Morton Wishengrad and is dedicated to his memory. This drama is the 10th of a series entitled Man in Protest.
Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hanavi.
What are the three capital sins for the people of Israel? They are only three: idolatry, unchastity, and murder. And it is written in the Talmud, there comes a time when it is considered a virtue to trespass a law of the Torah. There is even a time when a man may transgress all except the three capital injunctions, if thereby he saves a life for the world. Years ago, there lived in the city of Vilna a man of piety and wisdom, the sage and scholar Rabbi Israel Salanter. And once in the evening of his days, after a life of gentle and scrupulous devotion to the law, he committed a great act of transgression. On the solemn Day of Atonement, the day of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Israel Salanter stood before the Holy Ark and said to the congregation of Vilna,
The prophet Habakkuk has written that the righteous liveth by his faith. It is our faith to keep this day of Yom Kippur in prayer and fasting. I command you to break this fast. Take up bread in your hand, pronounce the benediction, and eat. People of the congregation, I order you to break the fast. I order you to eat.
They heard him, and they were incredulous. And he commanded them again, and they raised their voices against him. And then the look of the prophets came upon the face of Rabbi Israel, and his voice was a thundering from the holy ark. And the men and women of Vilna wept and refused to commit the transgression of the fast. And then Rabbi Israel Salanter wept also, and he called to one by his side,
Bring me bread and salt and a glass of wine. I myself will be the first to eat and to make a blessing for bread on the day of Yom Kippur.
Who was this man who broke the sacred prohibition? He was a scholar of scholars and a man of gentleness. He measured his day with the acts of righteousness, even as the seconds measure the minutes and the minutes measure the hours. I recall once when, in a time of great urgency, Rabbi Israel encountered a man who was lamed in the foot, and the wife of Rabbi Israel, who was equally urgent, was greatly provoked.
Now we are late, Rabbi Israel.
I'm sorry, Leah, but the man was lame. I couldn't hurry.
And why couldn't you?
Leah, you saw yourself. The man was lame.
You're not lame. Now we're late. We're too late. See what you've done.
I cannot help it, Leah. He barely walks. Would it be right for me to hurry?
There is such a thing as carrying tact too far.
Tact, Leah?
That's what I said.
Yes, Leah, tact, consideration, if you will, but something more. It is written in the law that a man is forbidden to display unusual ability in the presence of the handicapped. It's a good law, Leah. If God wills, I will never violate it.
B'mheira v'yameinu yavo.
And yet this man, this humble man of God, Rabbi Israel Salanter, committed a breach of the Yom Kippur fast. Perhaps it was because of a momentary weakness, you may ask. Perhaps. But he was not a man of weakness. He was a man of moral strength and considerable wisdom also. I mind the time when Solomon Cohen died and left a will which was too troublesome for the probate court. And Meyer, the son of Solomon, came to Rabbi Israel in his perplexity.
I thought my father loved me, Rabbi Israel.
He did, Meyer. He loved you very much.
Then why this will?
He leaves you all his wealth. Surely you have no complaints.
Haven't I? Listen, my son shall not receive his inheritance until he becomes foolish. It's no laughing matter, Rabbi Israel. What does he mean, my son shall not receive his inheritance until he becomes foolish?
Meyer, tell me, are you married?
How can a man marry without money?
I see. Then there is someone, eh?
Naturally, there is someone. Naomi, the grain dealer's youngest daughter.
Oh, marry her, Maya. And then, when your firstborn arrives, go to the probate court and you will be paid your inheritance.
But, Rabbi Israel, I don't understand.
Maya, your father was a very wise man. Bless his memory.
But I...
Now, wait. Marry Naomi and have your firstborn. Don't you see, Maya? When a man becomes a father, he romps on the floor with his child. He utters unseemly noises with his tongue. He bores his friends utterly with his simple stories. Well, have your child, Maya. You will become properly human and properly foolish. You will justify your inheritance. Maya, that is the meaning of your father's will.
Rabbi Israel Salanter, a scholar and a sage, and withal a man of humor and understanding. Yet this saintly person committed an act of transgression. And before I reveal to you the circumstance of his transgression, I must reveal once again the merit of Rabbi Israel. It happened on a certain day that the ghetto was disturbed by the voice
Don't
of Moses
let him
the
get
lion.
Away! Oh, those two men, they're thieves!
What did they do, Moses?
They robbed me. Hold them!
Hold on! Get those men!
Is this yours, Moses?
This and this and this and this are the scoundrels.
One of you two to say for yourselves.
I didn't take it.
He's a liar as well as a thief. It was on him.
I tell you, I couldn't have taken it.
No? I suppose the angel Gabriel flew it under your coat.
Well, how could I take it? Look down. Look at my feet.
Huh? Moses, this man is a cripple.
What? What did you say?
He's a cripple. Well, if he didn't take it, the other man did. Listen, you. It's very wicked to pass off your thievery on a poor, helpless cripple.
I didn't pass anything off.
Be still, you thief.
I'm telling you, I passed nothing to him, and I'm not a thief. I couldn't... Well, look. Look at my eyes.
In the name of God... The man is blind.
Pay no attention to them. If one didn't take it, the other did. I want the punishment.
1 second, Moses. This is too much for us to decide.
Yes.
I know. Take them to Rabbi Israel. He will decide.
Yes, Rabbi Israel.
Well, why doesn't he decide? Why?
Hush! Everyone, silence, please.
How was it done, Rabbi Israel?
I believe I know how you were robbed, Moses.
Didn't I tell you Rabbi Israel would know?
Blind man, stand up.
Yes, Rabbi Israel.
A thief must be punished.
But I swear I haven't seen the light of day for 12 years.
Nevertheless, a thief must be punished. Do you admit that?
All right, I admit it. But I'm not the thief. He took it.
How could I, Rabbi Israel? I haven't walked for 15 years. I admit a thief must be punished. But if you punish me, you punish an innocent man.
Now, attend me. Clearly, only one man here is a thief. Since one pair of eyes guided one pair of legs.
Well, then who is to be punished?
Moses, the Talmud has decided. Place the crippled man on the blind man's back.
No!
Good. Now, observe, all of you. What do we behold?
A cripple on a blind man's back.
Yes, Moses. One pair of sound eyes, one pair of sound legs. People, This is the single thief. For the purposes of crime, they were one. For the purposes of judgment, let them also be one.
Then judge them, Rabbi Israel.
No, that is not proper. Take them to court.
No, no, you judge them yourself.
My son, Rabbi Ishmael said, judge not alone, for none may judge alone save the Holy One. Neither say to thy colleague, accept my opinion, for he is free to choose, but thou art not. Take them to the court, and be quick, for the day is Friday, and dusk is at hand, and we must hurry to the synagogue to welcome the Sabbath.
A song of the Sabbath, a song of welcome. Lecha Dodi, come, my friend, to meet the bride. For truly is not the Sabbath the bride of Israel. Thus they sang, and thus each Sabbath eve in the synagogue of Vilna sang Rabbi Israel Salanter. It is an ancient poem to be sung with tenderness and with pride, and not without a wetness of the eye. And in this manner, upon the song, Sabbath followed upon Sabbath, the night became long and was stricken with winter, and the houses of the ghetto huddled together against the cold. The seasons changed, and life in Vilna was uneventful, and therefore the more to be cherished. And the people cherished their rabbi, for he was a man of God, and good, and without blemish. And then, a month before the days of penitence, with neither pause nor warning, an affliction descended from the east. Some said it came from China, some said India. It did not matter. It was the cholera, and from it came death, and the transgression of Israel Salanter. But first came death.
He didn't complain. First the pain in the legs, then the cramping. He didn't complain. We buried him quickly, as you said, Rabbi Israel.
Rebecca, rouse yourself.
Why?
Rebecca, listen to me.
Why?
Rebecca.
Yes, all right, I'll listen.
Your brother is sick. Your husband is sick. There is no one but you to care for them.
My baby is dead.
Rebecca, rouse yourself.
May he rest in peace.
Amen. Rebecca, you must tend to your husband and to your brother.
All right, Rabbi Israel. I'll tend to them.
They are taken bad, but you must tend them without fear.
I have already buried my child. How can I have fear?
Very well. Hot stones wrapped in towels for their feet, Rebecca.
All right.
And they are to bring ice from the ice house. The doctor says, administer it by mouth. It may stop the vomiting.
Yes, of course.
And feed them, Rebecca. Feed them frequently.
With what? I have nothing in the house. No one has anything now. Not a kopeck, not a spoon of barley.
Then wait here. I'm going to see Moses, the wine merchant. He will help.
We have come on an evil time, Rabbi Israel.
Yes, yes, Moses.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Of course, of course. But Moses, listen.
Oh, Rabbi Israel, how great must be our sins that this punishment has been visited upon us.
In the name of heaven, Moses, a little less verbal piety. These people need help.
Rabbi Israel, we all need help. You must do your duty, Rabbi Israel. Tell them to trust in the Lord.
Moses, I have raised my hand against no man in all my life, but before God, I believe it would be no sin if I struck you now.
Rabbi Israel, someone might think I uttered a blasphemy. Is it such a terrible crime to trust in the Lord?
It is a crime for you to tell that to the needy, yes?
But I trust in God. Why shouldn't they?
Moses, does that trust make you indifferent to the misfortune of others? They have no food, no money. You have. Are you going to put your hand in your pocket, or are you going to let them starve?
If they trust in God, they will not starve.
Moses, sometimes there can be nothing more loathsome than a complacent man. Do you think you can perform your religious duties only in the seclusion of the house of worship? Do you think it is enough to repeat a prayer, to observe the dietary laws, to make a false show of piety? Do you think a man of religion must only contemplate and never serve? Moses, put your hand in your pocket. We need food, we need medicines. And by all that's holy, never, Moses, never,
tell a needy man to trust in God before you yourself have helped him.
Get into bed, Rebecca. You have fallen sick.
I can't, Doctor. There's no one left to help the others.
Rabbi Israel, she must get into bed.
Do as the doctor says, Rebecca.
I can't. I lost my child. I can't lose my husband and my brother.
I'll stay here. I'll tend you.
No, Rabbi. It's the Sabbath. Your place is in the synagogue.
Rebecca, every house is a synagogue. Every house where men are born and live and die. And remember, Rebecca, in a time of danger for human life, observance of the law may be set aside without sin. Is there a better place for me to pray than here? Is there a better way for me to pray than by doing what I can for you and your family?
I'll go to bed. I am very tired. I'll go, Rabbi Israel.
I must talk to you, Rabbi Israel.
Yes, Doctor.
8 in every 10 are dead and dying.
So bad.
Doctor. Yes, so bad. And the others will surely die, and you will die with them unless...
Unless what?
They need rest and care. And most of all, they need food. They need food every single day.
Doctor, come to the point.
There must be no fasting on the Day of Atonement.
On the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. There shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls. Yes, Doctor, and ye shall afflict your souls, and take no manner of food, and take no manner of drink.
Don't quote the scripture, Rabbi Israel. There must be no fasting.
They would sooner die than break the solemn fast.
If they don't break it, they will surely die.
Tell me what to do, Doctor.
I want you to break the Yom Kippur fast.
I cannot do that, Doctor. The righteous liveth by his faith. If it is God's will, I shall die. I am no longer young. Perhaps you can't understand it. But if it is a choice of breaking the fast or dying, I have no alternative but to die.
Suit yourself. I just can't understand it. But don't let them die. Tell them they must live.
Yes, I can do that. Nothing is more sacred than life. All right, Doctor. I shall tell them to break the fast.
Sign a piece. Wait. It's a notice from Rabbi Israel. There will be no fasting tomorrow. No fast on Yom Kippur. Wait. Let's talk to him.
There he is. There's Rabbi Israel. Rabbi Israel, will you break the solemn fast?
No.
Then neither do we.
Never. You must persuade them, Rabbi Israel.
I have done more, Doctor. I have commanded them. They won't listen.
But it's Yom Kippur, Rabbi Israel. If they fast today, not even a miracle will save them.
Very well, Doctor. I know what I must do.
Call Nidrei V'yesorei Vacharomei Vekonomei Vechinu Ye.
In the synagogue of Vilna, the cantor sang Kol Nidrei on the solemn Day of Atonement, and outside the death carts were piled high in the streets of the ghetto, and the day was blacker than night, and no star shone. And the cantor sang Kol Nidrei, and a remnant of Israel heard the melody and listened to the slow beat of its heart. The widows listened, and the orphans and the bereaved men of the congregation. And they marveled that the cantor had strength to sing, for they barely had strength to listen. Then Rabbi Israel Salanter stepped slowly before the open Ark of the Covenant and touched his finger to the holy scroll and turned to the congregation and spoke.
Wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not?
Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the fetters of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Hear me, people of Vilna. Wherefore do we fast? Is it not to deal our bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out to our house? And if the house is empty, whom shall we bring? I, Rabbi Israel Salanta, charge you to break this fast.
Break?
People of Vilna, in the name of God, I command you to break bread, to pronounce the benediction, and to eat.
Rabbi Israel, as we have lived, so shall we die. We cannot break the fast.
I command you.
You shame us, Rabbi Israel. You shame us before the open ark of the covenant.
Will you eat?
We will not.
Murder is a capital sin. You murder yourselves by not eating.
Rabbi Israel, I am no scholar. I make no claim to learning. But there are some laws that may be transgressed and some that may never be. And we will not break the law of the holiest of days.
My children, there comes a time when it is considered a virtue to trespass a law of the Torah. And this is such a time. There is even a time when a man may transgress every single one of the 613 precepts of the Torah, with the exception of the commandment against idolatry, the commandment against unchastity, and the commandment against murder. And this is also such a time. For by our transgression, not a single life, but many lives are saved for the world. And what is more holy than life?
We commit no transgression today, Rabbi Israel. We are neither more nor less than you. And we will not do what you will not do.
Very well. Moses.
Yes, Rabbi Israel.
In my bag. Take it from the bag.
Take what?
A loaf of bread.
Here is the loaf of bread, Rabbi Israel.
Say the benediction with me, Moses. Moses, say it with me. Blessed art thou,
O Lord our God,
King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the ground. Now, Moses, let us eat the Yom Kippur bread and live.
And the Rabbi Israel Salanta stood before the Ark of the Lord on the solemn Day of Atonement and ate bread. And the congregation of Vilna wept. Then Rabbi Israel closed the Ark, and they returned to their houses, and they ate, and they lived. And when the city was cleansed and the dead were buried, Rabbi Israel spoke to the congregation.
O Lord, what is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thy heart upon him, and that thou shouldst remember him every morning and try him every moment? O thou watcher of men, why hast thou set me as a mark for thee, so that I am a burden to myself? I ask you Job's question, people of Israel, and I know the answer. Every man is the Lord's mark. Every life is one mortal atom of the Lord. Let us live each day as though it were the last of days. Let us do justly. Let us honor all men, for all men are the handiwork of God. Now, let us in the synagogue, for the day is Friday, and the night is gathering. Let us rejoice and sing a welcome to the Sabbath.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address for 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Pesach Krauss, spiritual leader of Congregation Beth David, Lynbrook, New York. Rabbi Krauss.
Rabbi Salanter was a great rabbi of the prophetic mold. He fulfilled his title Rav, or Rabbi, meaning teacher, through the example he set in his personal life, in depth of learning, wisdom, and piety. Rabbi Salanter loved and practiced the law and ritual, but he was troubled by the inconsistencies he saw around him. He lived in the shtetl of Eastern Europe in the 19th century, where Judaism was a complete and enveloping way of life. The law was meticulously observed and ritual piously enacted. And yet, he noted in dismay that all too often the ethical areas of religion were overlooked. The institutional forms were meticulously observed, while at times there was laxity and callousness in man's relationship to man. In the tradition of the prophets, he sought for meaning behind the forms of religion. For Rabbi Salanter, the institutions of study, prayer, ritual were made for man. These forms could be justified only as these fulfilled their functions of transforming man and society. A classic example of Rabbi Salanter's point of view is portrayed in the dramatic Yom Kippur incident. Rabbi Salanter is telling us a cardinal principle of Judaism, that man is central. He stands above the law when his life and well-being is endangered. The individual is precious, and he who saves one life, it is as if he saved an entire world. Today, when the institutions of democracy, the university, the political forms, the social molds, and nationhood are shaken, Rabbi Salanter's challenge rings loud and clear. Is it man or the institution? Was man made for the institution or the institution for man? Are the institutions sensitive to the needs of man for whom they were created in the first place? Are they structured so that each individual has an equal opportunity to share in the fruits of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Do we have channels for renewal so that the vision of Rabbi Salanter be realized in the advent of that day when none shall go hungry or be without shelter, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
Thank you, Rabbi Krauss. Our Eternal Light program today, Rabbi Israel Salanter, was written by the late Morton Wishengrad and was dedicated to his memory. This drama was the 10th in a series entitled Man in Protest. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. In today's cast were Abby Lewis, Robert Moberg, Ralph Bell, Guy Repp, Gilbert Meck, Martha Golfin, John Seymour, and Court Benson. Stotz Cotsworth was Rabbi Israel Salanter, and Dwight Wiest was the narrator. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light will present Stephen Wise, A Voice for Justice, written by Mark Siegel. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is produced for NBC by Rhoda Grady and directed by Jeffrey Culliver. For the seminary, Dr. Ben Zion Boxer is program editor, Milton E. Krantz producer, Nancy Waltman program coordinator. The Eternal Light is presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.